Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we move towards a massive international doubleheader for Scotland. Lyndon Dykes believes the players deserve to go to a World Cup after a long time in the wilderness. Reports suggest Celtic have been interviewing managerial candidates in London, as Wilfred Nancy, the chief front runner, among them, and Hibs end their association with Bill Foley and Bournemouth. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Simon Donnelly and Roger Hannah.
Well, as ever, Gordon, beautifully summed up the agenda of the day. Celtic getting closer to a successor to Brendan Rodgers. Scotland hopefully getting closer to a World Cup finals for the first time since a man to my right went to France in 1998. And Gordon, I've got a plea tonight. After Sharon Gate on Monday, if anyone attended Girvan Primary School between 1976 and 1983, under no circumstances, call this show tonight.
I am still reeling from Monday night when someone phoned in claiming to know Andy Halliday's primary school love interest. It was just bizarre. But anyway,
Roger was filling me in.
Remarkable. Yeah. Anything you want to reveal about your past?
Absolutely not.
Mrs. Donnelly listening?
No, absolutely not. Good. But yeah, just middle of the week, reflecting on the weekend, but more, I would like to look forward to big Scotland games coming up. As Roger said there, it's been so long since we've been at a finals. Can we at the last get there again with this group of players? They've taken us to two Euro finals. They were close with the playoff last time out. It'd be great to get us there.
How would you describe your mental state as a Celtic minded individual in the managerial search? Content, relaxed, itchy? What stage are you at?
Content, I would use out of those words.
How long would your contentment last, out of curiosity?
Depends if they keep winning. I think I said that on the show a couple of weeks. I think
so fickle.
But results dictate. I think results dictate. It's nothing against. I think Martin coming in, the feel good factor was there. Obviously, the disappointment was the European game. I think now looking at the European efforts, I think it's running away from Celtic a wee bit. It's difficult. I mean, there's still games there. Their squad's getting more and more depleted. And, you know, I think domestically, I think they have to look at, I think that might be the challenge now, to go and try and get, obviously, the League Cups, the one in the foreground, then chase down Hearts for the league. But to answer your question, I don't really know. At the moment, I'm comfortable with it. Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham will obviously be taking the training. Martin will be overlooking it. That's from the outside looking in, what I understand to be the case. But yeah, I think I don't think it'll be in the next 2 weeks.
Three big away games coming up back to back.
So yeah, no,
dress rehearsal for the League Cup final Saturday night. Yeah, Feyenoord away. If you think Midtjylland away was tough, Feyenoord away will be as tough.
Yes.
And then Easter Road, which is always difficult against, you know, a decent Hibs side. So
I know, but
it's a difficult run of fixtures coming up.
What I'm saying there is, Roger, though, I think if you look at the four games, take Midtjylland out of the equation, right? It was a poor 10 minutes where they're 3-0 down, the game's away from them. They've did okay in other games. It's going to be the same group of players. So, I accept their difficult games coming up. They're all difficult games. But they've shown that they've been able to get the best out of this squad in those games domestically. The challenge is they're losing players again. Yeah. The Uruguayan left back Sarachi at the weekends.
That's what Martin O'Neill was calling him in his press conference
as
well.
I know. it's just one of these ones where the squad is, it's getting less and less. Obviously, the boy Osmond last week, Johnston's not going to be any time soon either. No. So it's difficult, but somebody coming in for those games would have the same challenges.
Right, 0141 951 1025. That's the number that you need. So let's hear from you tonight. What is on your mind? There is a development today, Celtic fans, and that's that the club have been holding talks with potential candidates in London. We focused a bit, I think we could focus more tonight as the news starts to sink in and people start to do their own research and think about it in a bit more detail, that Wilfred Nancy seems to be the front runner, but the reports today that Celtic hierarchy or representatives have been holding talks with candidates in London. What do you make of that? I know it's not a massive update necessarily that's going to change your opinion drastically, but we did introduce the idea, I think, of Wilfred Nancy last night. We had our MLS correspondent on giving us the lowdown. I don't know if you liked what you heard or not, and if you've gone and done your own research and whether you're convinced one way or the other, do let us know, because it seems to be Roger Hanna that he's the front runner. Now, I keep using that, I want to keep emphasising seems, in the same way that Steven Gerrard was the front runner, and then Kevin Muscat became the front runner.
That's the point.
We should probably learn lessons from that.
100%. And until Wilfred Nancy is standing in the front steps of Celtic Park with a green and white scarf over his head, don't get too excited. He is the front runner. I think he's the favourite. I think he's well admired within the Celtic Park boardroom. He has a good reputation. He has links with Paul Tisdale, who is helping front the search for the new Celtic manager. So if everything goes to plan, he could well be the next Celtic manager. But as Rangers found out last month, not everything goes to plan when you're trying to get a new manager in, Gordon.
Right, it's up to you. Come on, 01419511025. That might just be one of the topics that tickles your fancy. So Celtic fans, you've clearly got a lot to keep yourselves busy with, this search for a new manager. Is it Wilfred Nancy? Do you still hope it'll be someone else? It does look like the wheels are moving. Celtic holding talks with potential candidates in London. That's been reported today. So give us all your latest thoughts. It's clearly going to move on all the time. I want to know how you're feeling about it today. Scotland is just around the corner by Saturday night. It can't be confirmed in a good way, but it could be confirmed in a bad way if it goes wrong in Greece, and then it would be a playoff at best. So there is a job to be done there, and that is only a couple of days away. We'll hear from Lyndon Dykes, the club, old habits die hard there. The team are over in Turkey for some warm weather training before they head to Greece. So we'll hear from Lyndon Dykes from there. So get your first Scotland thoughts in. And maybe it's just a chance for anyone else out there to take stock, have some reflection. Usually when you get to an international break, you can do that. You're not in the chaos of games every couple of days. You can look back. For the majority of the league, that's them played 11 fixtures. They've played one round of fixtures. Now, give or take a couple of games in hand here and maybe some repeated opposition. But most of the teams, in fact, I think it's 50-50, so don't pin me on my arithmetic, but a lot of the league, at least them all, in fact, now, I'm making a real mess of counting them up as we talk, but they've played a round of fixtures, 11 or 12. What does the report card look like for your team? Because usually that's quite a good sample, Roger Hanna, to have a you've kind of had a look at everybody.
Oh yeah,
like I say, there'll be a wee anomaly there where a fixture didn't happen and got replayed against someone else that you've played twice. But usually, once you've played 11 games, that's quite a fair assessment of where you're at. So I wonder what the report cards would look like out there.
Yeah, and listen, Andrew, the league table does take shape about now. Hearts, I mean, they'll be an A-plus at the minute, won't they? 7 points clear of Celtic, a fantastic unbeaten start to the season. You know, you're dealing with an opening quarter of the season where, for the first time in history, Celtic and Rangers have both changed manager, Gordon. We've had teams in Europe, we've had teams out of Europe, we've had teams underperforming in Europe, we've had a couple of new teams making vastly different starts. You know, Falkirk really impressive in the top six, some terrific results. Livi, bottom of the table, fighting hard with the likes of Dundee and Kilmarnock to try and get away from what would be described, after, you know, any time from now on in, as a relegation battle.
Yeah, I think the obvious one's Hearts. For me, you know, we always, year in, year out, look at, is there going to be a challenge from out with Celtic and Rangers? And
somebody on the phone, somebody want to talk to us, somebody dialing in.
Sorry, I've leaned in my phone.
But yeah, Hearts are the obvious one. As Roger quite rightly says there, to be sitting at the top, 7 points clear. Yeah, it's something interesting. I'm sure the people out with the Scottish game looking in will be looking in with interest, rather. That it's not the likes of Celtic sitting at the top of the table. It's Hearts, and it's a challenge. It's getting... I don't think it'll go away. I think Hearts look strong enough. They've got a strong enough squad there. It'll be interesting to get to the transfer window, see what the teams do. But I think it's a real challenge. I know Aberdeen started well last year and fell away, but I don't see this Hearts team doing that.
Right, 0141 951 1025. John is on the line. How are you, John?
Hi, Gordon, Roger, Simon.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
I've got a couple of points, but the second point is to you, Simon, about Sunday's game, mate. But the first one is, I would like, Roger, you'll probably know better than me about this, but I've heard, see the boy Knudsen for Bodo Glimt.
Yeah.
I was talking to a guy a couple of weeks ago, and apparently this guy has got a clause in his contract that he gets 10% of any transfer fees. So I don't know if that's true or not, because I thought, if that was me, I wouldn't want to leave a club if he's getting every transfer fee. But I just don't know if that's true or not. But I would like this boy, I don't know much about the boy Nancy, or as I said to the boy on the phone, they call it, I would like, if they don't get whoever they want, I would like Ange back, because I think he's hit his turn down there, and he's done all right. He was relatively successful, obviously won the first one in so many years, then it obviously didn't work out in Forest. I think if he come back, he'd be willing to just, he'd be happy here. What do you think?
I'd be surprised, John, if the question hasn't been asked of Ange so far, because he had such success up here. He's available, he won't cost anything, he would be welcomed back in by the vast majority of the support. So I can only think the question's been asked, and he himself feels he's not ready to leap back in at the minute.
That your reading of it, Simon? Or
yeah, possibly, because again, I'm like everybody else looking, and there's names every day coming to the fore, and there was a little clip actually on social media today of Ange. I think he was addressing the Spurs team, I think it was after the semi-final, I can't remember. And I just thought, you know, somebody like him coming back, you know, I think the fans would actually be all in with that. His performances at Celtic before, it's not been disrespectful to the other guys, because if you rewind before Ange Postecoglou, we were probably questioning who he was as well before he came to Celtic. So that's no disrespect to the other names that are out there, but I think it's natural. When Brendan was coming back as well, I felt that as well. Somebody that's been over the ground at Celtic, was successful at Celtic, and I used the term with Brendan at the time, safe hands, which again, I don't mean to be somebody that I wouldn't, you know, think twice about it, but I think he will have. If there was any sign that Ange Postecoglou was a chance to come back, I think we would have known about it by now.
I think he could still get an English Premier League job now. I know there's clearly a way of reading that where you say Forest was like the ultimate disaster because it lasted such a short amount of time, and is that your stock ruined forever? But you might actually be able to look on that quite sympathetically and say, well, he wasn't given time to do that, and he didn't get a transfer window, and that club's a basket case, and look at the owner, and so on. You wonder if he's just about, I'm not saying it would be one of the top ones, but I wonder if he could just about get another English Premier League club.
Very possibly good. You know, Rob Edwards who took Luton down twice,
gets the Wolves job,
and you know is back in at Wolves via Middlesbrough, so he's got a Premier League job. So yeah, I would say Ange could probably think of himself getting back into the English Premier League.
John, you can see you don't know much about Wilfried Nancy, and I think lots of people would be the same. Are you okay with that? Are you willing for it to be someone who you don't know much about, or would that worry you? How do you feel?
Mostly, I mean, 99% of Celtic fans will back the manager, as we know. But I don't know much about him. But as I said, I like Knudsen, obviously, style of play. But as I say, I don't know if that was a lot of rubbish to get. But I mean, because it seems quite far fetched that he's that's in his contract. But Simon, see, were you commentating on the Celtic TV on Sunday?
Yeah, I was.
Aye, I thought it was you, mate. Right?
Rubbish, wasn't he?
I've tried to get this point on. You'll know what I've thought about. The tackle with the Brad Lyons boy on Magida, I don't know how that's not a straight red card. You commented, mate. He wouldn't get away with that tackle in rugby.
Round the neck?
Aye. It was a yellow card. To me, it's a straight red card.
Yeah.
The thing is with that, it's one of those, it falls into that area where it's just never going to be, is it? I don't think the kind of the laws, the criteria is really there for
one round.
It's probably one of them where they, what's the phrase referees sometimes use? high-end yellow card. Right, I know a yellow's a yellow, but...
Yeah. And it's cynical and it's up round. I did make a comment during that you'd be penalised in rugby for that tackle.
I know, but you know what I mean? The way the laws are, we've seen it before, Roger. It's the type of discussion that allows you to... allows people at FIFA and IFAB to get a bit twitchy and think, oh, maybe we introduce sin bins or maybe we introduce a colour of card in between. But I think the laws of the game, the way they're written, it allows you to pull people down quite cynically and it becomes a yellow.
I was at Celtic Park covering the game for Super Scoreboard on Sunday afternoon. I remember the challenge and your eyes tell you, you know it's going to be a yellow card.
Unless they're through on goal, that is never ending up as a red.
I think it just looks worse because of where that is. I mean, normally if it was a pull in the back, I mean, it was wrapped around his neck, it didn't look great.
But that's what I mean, you know, because if you're talking straight red card and you're not on about denying an obvious goal scoring opportunity, you're talking excessive force, you know, danger an opponent, whatever. It's one that players can probably get away with. John says about not knowing much about Wilfred Nancy. I think that's natural. Roger, we've tried to learn a bit. I think everyone does their old Wikipedia search. And we had our MLS reporter on last night who, in his mind, and it's one guy's opinion and I get all that, said he felt he had been the outstanding coach in the MLS for a while now and was probably ready for a step to Europe.
Listen, Simon said we didn't really know too much about Ange when he came in the door. Remember Eddie Howe was supposed to be getting the job and that fell through and Ange came in.
He was more experienced.
When you kind of stripped it back and looked at that at the time when his name it was
the same with Ronnie Dyla. When Ronnie came in from Vålerenga, nobody really knew too much of his backstory.
Might not be a great one that though to keep the Celtic fans encouraged this evening.
He won titles. So that is the sort of level that Celtic managers need to get to. So if Wilfred Nancy can come in and bridge the gap to Hearts and keep Rangers at arm's length, maybe win the League Cup, he will be embraced by the Celtic fan base.
That's one of those sentences that just makes me think, imagine you had just, I don't know, you'd switched your phone off, you'd cut yourself off from all technology for
only
2 months.
Only, not even months.
You switched back on and heard you say, if Wilfred Nancy can come into Celtic and bridge the gap to Hearts. Honestly, imagine you'd been away since the summer.
Gordon, what are they going to write on my epitaph when I'm gone? The football is rotten, but the stories are brilliant. World class stories in Scottish football, and this is just another.
John, you have any expectation about this managerial search being concluded during this international break, or do you not think that time frame's relevant?
It's not relevant to me. They need to get it right. I mean, if they don't get it between the international breaks over, well, I mean, 100% of the fans will still be happy with Martin being there. It's in good hands anyway now with Martin O'Neill. I mean, and I would actually love Martin to stay at the end of the season, so I would, because he's not lost any enthusiasm on the touchline and that, know what I mean? I always remember one of his first games, I don't know, Roger, you'll remember being a reporter, it was they beat the D-United 2-1 at Tannadice, and his exact comments were, before this game, I thought Henry Glasson was a good player. I was wrong. He's a fantastic footballer.
Is that Martin O'Neill or Louis Walsh?
I'm really not sure. But no, that was his first league game in charge. I think he went to Tannadice 1-2-1. Might have been Sutton and Larson scoring the goals. And the rest is history, as they say, John.
No more impressions if we can. That was John on the line on 01419511025. It's a good time to join in. We'll get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Simon Donnelly are here. It's 01419511025. Give us a call. Let us know what's on your mind, of course, in terms of today's news agenda. Celtic managerial search going on. The club believed to have held talks with potential candidates in London. So what's your latest thoughts on that, Celtic fans, Scotland fans? It's a couple of days away. Why not get the early build-up going? And to everyone else, maybe just a chance for reflection. Everyone's played a full round of fixtures, give or take. It'll be the odd anomaly, but 11 and 12 games on the board so far. How would you sum it all up? We always do this at this stage of the window, Roger. I feel like I always ask for a kind of a report card, an assessment of how the first round of fixtures has gone. But there's a bit too much chaos in the air this year. If you were a Celtic or Rangers fan, how on earth would you sum up what you've witnessed in that first 11 games?
And it's difficult to sum up, not just Celtic and Rangers, your own team, Gordon. You know, you're sitting in the top six. The football has been very attractive. The fans have enjoyed it. but the results maybe haven't been quite what they could be, including that League Cup semi-final defeat. Aberdeen, I mean, there was a spell earlier in the season we thought Jimmy Tilleen was hours from the sack, but he seems to have rallied a little bit and taken the team up the league. So I think there'll be mixed messages coming from a lot of the fan bases in the Premiership, the Old Firm especially.
Let's bring in Bill on the line and see what his opinions are tonight. Hi, Bill.
Hi there. I don't think we should be contemplating this chap, Wilfred Nelsy. He has no experience in Scottish or British football, and he's been so long out of Europe, he's not really up to date with European football. I think we should be prioritising the managers, the chap from Bodo Glimt, Knudsen, I think his name is, followed by the chap from Club Bruges, and then lastly the chap with Borussia Dortmund. I think they would be the top of my list. We need to go for experience. We need to go for people and shell out a bit of money to get them in, and hopefully they'd bring in their recruitment team with them. Not so much their coaches, but the recruitment team. And I think that's the route we should go down. At the moment, we've not started the league particularly well. Martin O'Neill has managed to rescue us to some extent. We're not all that far off Hearts. And I think if we can hold together until the end of this year, maybe get to the end of December, to get into the start of January, I think we stand a good chance of maybe pulling back Hearts and strengthening our position.
Every time somebody likens this to Ange Postecoglou, somebody rightly points out that these are very different guys at different stages with different levels of experience. So I totally take all that on board. However, Bill, you've made me make the comparison, because if your sole worry about Wilfred Nelsy is that he doesn't know British or European football, you would have to then apply that to Ange Postecoglou when he arrived, wouldn't you?
He would do, but he was coming from a league in Japan where he had done particularly well. He had experience in other areas prior to coming. This chap doesn't seem to have much experience apart from being in the MLS.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. So what's the worry here? Is it the lack of experience, or is it the not knowing British and European football? Because Ange he'd be in the same category there. If you want to move your argument to saying you're worried about his lack of experience, that's fine.
The chap certainly has no knowledge. As far as I'm concerned, he doesn't have any knowledge, up-to-date knowledge, of European football, and he certainly doesn't have any knowledge of British football.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Neither would Ange have had at that point, would he?
Yeah, Postecoglou, to some extent, would have been used to a type of football in Australia, and a number of Australians have come over to Scotland and done particularly well.
Yeah, listen, by the way, this sounds like I'm Wilfred Nelsy's agent. That makes no difference to me, but what I'm saying is I don't think it's fair to say Australia's a good breeding ground for Scotland, but the MLS isn't. I just think that sounds...
When Ange came to the club, they sort of married him up with John Kennedy, and they put, you know, Gavin Strachan, and Stevie Woods, they put a very strong structure around about Ange, and it worked for him. And I think if it is Wilfred Nelsy, and I understand Bill's concerns, any time you appoint a manager, there's an element of risk involved in it. Doesn't matter who it is. But you would think if Nelsy comes in, I believe he'd bring his number two, Kwame Ampadu, who has worked with Paul Tisdale before at Exeter. If they were to come in, there would be a strong structure there. You know, you can imagine that Sean Maloney, Stephen McManus, Gavin Strachan and Stevie Woods, who I've already mentioned, they would all still be there. Potentially Mark Fotheringham has come in with Martin O'Neill. So I think there would be a strong structure there to help Wilfred Nelsy settle in.
It's very difficult, Simon, because you're talking about an individual, but then we're also broad brushing as well and comparing Wilfred Nelsy to Ange Postecoglou, who, again, I really want to acknowledge, they're totally different.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about this notion of that they didn't know British or European football. What's your sort of priority, if you like? Because you're looking for a guy that ticks as many boxes as you can.
Mm.
How high up would you have knowing British and European football? How high up would you have a history of winning things? How high up would you have, I don't know, the sort of the level that they'd coached at before? What's like the main thing you are drawn to?
Well, I think as you said, and Roger quite rightly said there, it is always going to be a slight gamble. The Celtic job, probably like the Rangers job, is unlike many out there, with the pressure and the stress and everything that comes with it and the demand for winning. And you look at, you only have to look across the road at how many managers Rangers have went through in the last time. I wouldn't like that to happen at Celtic. This is why, when I get back to what I said earlier on, when it was the last time round and Rodgers was mentioned, I thought, well, that's a safe because he's been there before. Mm-hmm. I'm quite comfortable that he can come in and do the job again, and he did, until he moved on. I think with the Wilfred Nancy, the first thing that I was thinking there when Bill was the Postecoglou, he didn't have much knowledge of Celtic, but look what job he did when he came in. I think the other guys, like the guy at Bodo Glimt and the guy at Bruges, it's in our attention, but we see these guys, like the guy at Bodo Glimt's been listed for numerous times. I think it's just a bit of the wee bit of the unknown with the lad, because we haven't really heard of him. That's not to say he wouldn't come in and do well, but it's a job unlike many others. So somebody who could come in and have to be able to handle that, but it's winning.
Take you back to your own playing days, though. Vimy Hansen came in. Bit of a gamble.
100%.
Joe Venglos came in.
Yep.
Different CV, different background, bit of a gamble. One was superb, one wasn't. So you don't know.
You don't know. You absolutely don't know. And that's why we can't be too disrespectful. But I think it's in your nature. I think anybody, it's in your nature. If you haven't really heard of that guy, to be a wee bit more unsure. That's not to say the guy for Bodo Glimt would walk in and be a huge success. I mean, he's only been there. People question, why is he not moved up until now? With the success he's had at Bodo, why has he not moved on to something regarded bigger and better? We don't know.
And then the other thing's the obvious stuff, the availability, Roger. If you're going to prize a manager away from his existing club...
Yeah, we're still in tournaments.
It has to be... But even financially, that's going to have to be a club of a certain level. It's just the way it is, because I still see Kieran McKenna's name, and I'm not saying it's not going to be Kieran McKenna, and then I look daft when he rocks up and has the scarf above his head. But by all accounts, it takes £5 million to even get Kieran McKenna. Yeah. Also, by all accounts, Kieran McKenna currently in the Championship earns a good bit more. It goes far as saying far more than Brendan Rodgers earned at Celtic. Yeah. And Brendan Rodgers was a famously well paid Celtic manager. So is it even possible, do you think, financially, to get Kieran McKenna?
Oh, listen, it's possible. Whether there's a will there among the Celtic board to spend as highly as that on Kieran McKenna, when you could perhaps get, you know, another candidate for a significantly lesser sum. Yet you're minimising the financial gamble you're taking at that stage, Gordon. At the minute, it's all pointing, for me, it's all pointing to Wilfred Nancy, but I'm sure I said that with Stephen Gerrard and then Kevin Muscat a month ago.
I know.
Thank you very much to Bill on 01419511025. Keep your thoughts coming in as well, whether there's anything else that you want to get across to us on that managerial search. It doesn't feel like there's loads. Celtic obviously keep their cards close to their chest, Roger. There's lots of clubs want to do the sort of meeting of candidates in London. Does that give any clue as to the time frame that they're working towards for you?
No, not at all. They're going to have to speak to potential candidates. They're going to have to speak to them somewhere. If that somewhere is London, I think Celtic have done similar things in the past down there. It's maybe an easier destination for the people they're speaking to, if you know what I mean.
Am I right in saying, though, we don't know, although these talks have apparently taken place in London with potential candidates, we don't know if Wilfred Nancy's been in London?
Know if the talks with him were in London. No, we don't know that.
They'll send one of your Scottish Sun snappers down. Just prowl the streets. It's a wee place. I'm sure they'd manage.
See if they can find. Look for Paul Tisdale in his hat.
I think they would manage. See that link between Paul Tisdale, Wilfred Nancy's number two, Exeter. Is that enough for this to add any legitimacy, or are people adding two and two after the event?
I think if you're charged with finding the next Celtic manager, then I think it's only natural that, as well as looking at the more glamorous names, you would also consider guys who you've probably stumbled across during your football career. Mm. And Paul Tisdale clearly knows Kwame Ampadu, who has been number two to Wilfred Nancy. I'm sure he'll know. We'll have met Wilfred Nancy, I'm pretty sure. So if he, as your MLS correspondent said last night, Gordon, is the coming man in America, then I think it's only natural that they give him consideration, especially if you know of that link there and your pal is saying, this guy's really good, you should speak to him.
I never heard on the show last night, did the guy from America, was it a
yeah, he gave him a good write-up. That's, but listen, that's one person's opinion, yeah, and then course. People might talk about the level.
Yep.
Right, in the most general sense, let's make this not about Wilfred Nancy. In the most general sense, is the sort of, let's not say best because that's subjective, is one of the better coaches in the MLS. I think that Celtic's, is that an appropriate level for Celtic to look at?
I think it probably is, yeah. I think it probably is. I mean, look at the you know, where the other candidates are. Kjetil Knudsen is in the Norwegian league. Robbie Keane is in the Hungarian league. Damien Duff's just had success in the Irish league. I don't think.
And is Kieran,
Rangers found this as well, yeah. Gordon.
And is Kieran McKenna mentioned because Ipswich are now in not in the Premier League?
Yeah, well, look at the people Rangers were looking at. Kevin Muscat in the Chinese Super League. Danny Roll without a club after being in the Championship. Yeah. Russell Martin prior to that without a club, having had success in the Championship and, taking a team down like Kieran McKenna out the Premiership. That is the level that, we look at. I remember in the summer before Russell Martin's appointment, a caller phoned a couple of times demanding Rangers go and get Mikel Arteta from Arsenal. He used to play for them. That's unreal.
I've forgotten about that.
That's unrealistic.
I think I tried to forget about that.
Celtic can't go and get the Borussia Dortmund head coach.
Yeah, did Bill mention that? Actually, I meant to pick up on that. I love to talk our clubs up in the size and the power and the pull of them. I don't know if you could tempt away a current Borussia Dortmund manager, could you?
You know, a guy who's been linked with a job every time it's come up in the last 20 years, Davy Moyes, former Celtic player.
Yep.
But he's now Everton. In the glittering new stadium, doing well in the English Premier League. So, that's above where our clubs can aspire to get managers.
Yeah, Thomas is on the line. What are your thoughts, Thomas?
Hi, Gordon, Roger, Simon.
Hi, Thomas.
Hello, Thomas.
So, my thoughts are that I totally disagree with the comments that I believe the previous caller, I believe his name was Bill, was coming out with about about Wilfred Nancy and not wanting him in due to, I think the main reason why Bill was against it was a lack of experience in top level or European football. And I have to say that I understand that, but my main sort of, thing I would hit back on is one of the names that he mentioned was Nicky Hayen. And Nicky Hayen is obviously the Club Bruges manager. Before he was at Club Bruges, they got him from Haverford West County in the Cymru Premier League in Wales.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking to myself, if Celtic or Rangers were to ever appoint a manager from Wales, from the Welsh League, the uproar that you would get on this show would be humongous. You could sustain the show just on people being angry about that for about 3 months. And I just think Bill is symptomatic of some Celtic fans that I see on social media who can't decide what they want because people want experienced managers at the top level, but they also want sort of, young up-and-coming coaches who are well-versed in the analytics and the data side of it, and they want this perfect mix of everything. And Gordon, you say it a lot on the show, you're never going to get that just by where we are in the food chain. So I think, personally, I don't know much about Wilfred Nancy, but from the little that I've been able to glean through Googling and Wikipedia and the American guy that you had on last night, Brian, I believe his name was, it seems like he would be a coach that, plays attacking football, plays attractive football, has won the playoffs in the MLS, and whatever you think of that, it shows that he's won stuff. And I just think Celtic fans need to decide what they want before they say what they want. They need to decide what that is.
I think it's a great point about the Bruges manager, Roger.
Yeah.
It's a really, really good
Nicky
point
Hayne,
that Thomas makes. And people probably didn't know that, and it's great that Thomas brings it to the attention.
He's gone from playing against, who was that team Daz used to support? Airbus UK?
Was he Airbus or was he TNS?
I can't quite remember.
I think he was an Airbus man.
I mean, Nicky Hayne's gone from taking on TNS and Airbus to drawing 3-3 with Barcelona in the Champions League. It's a terrific story. If he doesn't come to Celtic, he'll get an even bigger job than Club Brugge. It wouldn't surprise me if he landed soon in the English Premier League.
Because in the midst of that, so in the last couple of months since Brugge did what they did to Rangers and got their draw, Celtic fans and Rangers fans, but Celtic fans are saying that's the type of club we should be aspiring to be. Look at what they do. Look at where they look for their players. So does that extend to the dugout, or are we a bit more traditional in the sense that you think you should bring in a manager who walks in the door and is already the biggest, most important character in that place?
The point we were making earlier was that they have looked in different areas to get their manager. They went to Yokohama, they went to Vålerenga to get Dyla. They brought Neil Lennon out of the youth department back in the day. So they'll go wherever they feel they need to go to get the right guy. And if they feel that Wilfred Nancy is the right guy, you know, if he comes from Columbus Crew, who cares?
Yeah, listen, again, it's just lack of... I mean, you touched on it, Roger, there about Wim Janssen and Dr. Joe back in my day. And I always say when I speak about Wim, you know, it was an ignorance from a lot of people, the lack of knowledge of what Wim had achieved. Wim had played in two World Cup finals. This guy here, it's just a lack of, you know, he's on the other side of the world. As I said earlier on, the Bodo Glimt guy pops up all the time, Knutson pops up all the time, and the lad at Bruges came to the fore as well. But what I'll say about the Bruges thing, the guy obviously is doing a great job there, but they also recruited really well. They lost players in the summer and brought in players immediately and never dropped a beat. And Celtic didn't do that this year. You know, Celtic had a bad transfer window. So it's more than just the manager as well. You know, the recruitment is key in football. It always has been with the players that you have to your disposal. But I just go back to it. I think it's in our nature, maybe in this country, you know, somebody that he's not really heard of and he's quite dismissed quite quickly.
Thank you, Thomas. I think you make some excellent points. That was Thomas from East Kilbride. Let me tell you about this before we go further. Every Friday there's a new winner, so why can't it be you? For your chance to win, get in that draw. You get 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025. The texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For £250 plus your standard network rate, you get 15 entries into the draw, but that's by texting YES to 61025 or call 03434 269 340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. Online entry and all the rules for this network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Lines close 5pm Friday. We're talking £625,000 here. A ridiculous sum of money. Good luck. Get in the draw.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Simon Donnelly are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Give us a call, let us know what you are thinking this Wednesday evening. Andy is next on the line. Take it away, Andy.
Gordon, how are you? Just a wee observation about the Scotland squad, then I'd like to ask a nostalgic question, if possible,
go on then,
to Roger Hanna. So my point is, if Billy Gilmour's no fit for Saturday and no travelling with the squad and potentially no fit for Monday, should they take Luke McEwen to Greece with the Scotland squad?
I spoke to Luke McEwen at Celtic Park on Sunday evening for Super Scoreboard, and he... we're asking him obviously about the future of Celtic manager Martin O'Neill, etc, etc, Andy, and he said, oh, maybe get a chat with Martin through the week. I'm not going anywhere else.
I heard that.
Clearly he has aspirations, as you would think he would, to be in the international squad. I think he's been slightly unlucky not to be in the international squad. Conor Barron of Rangers and Andy Irving of West Ham definitely seem to be ahead of him in Steve Clarke's thoughts. I think Luke can probably feel he's a wee bit unfortunate, and if there were any more injuries, you know, if Billy does pull out the Danish game as well come Tuesday night, then you wonder if he might turn to Luke McEwen. But he's had loads of opportunities to turn to Luke McEwen and hasn't taken any of them.
And do you think it is obviously cover the Celtic games, is it lack of game time? I mean, you could probably argue about Conor Barron as well, yeah, really, at times. Yeah, so
probably not, he's always much been less game time than Conor, yeah, Barron. And they're both got a lot more than Andy Irving.
Yeah, yeah. So that maybe kicks that argument into touch. He's a player I like. I think he's been round about it before, and just from his comments there, maybe a wee bit frustrated. But yeah, I think he'd be there or thereabouts. But I feel he needs to be playing, yeah, a wee bit more for his own benefit.
I think it's always hard, isn't it, when you kind of compare apples and oranges, maybe. So you've got Luke McCowan versus Conor Barron's a close comparison in the level that they play at, and maybe even the game time. Where Conor Barron probably has the advantage is he's come through the 21s, yeah, he's been in and around a couple of squads. Andy Irving then, as you say, played even less game time, but that's the English Premier League, and maybe, yeah, it's harder. So
slightly different players as well. I, yeah, think Luke's maybe a wee bit further forward, you, yeah, know, try to open things up.
I'm not saying it's, yeah, I'm not saying it's right, Andy, but is that understandable perhaps, that if you are, you know, you're at the end of a campaign, you're trying just to sort of fix an issue, you're probably just going to turn to somebody that's been in at least squads before and has maybe come through the 21s, and you just go down that route. Is that where he's gone?
Possibly, Gordon. But do you know, funnily enough, it was when Roger was interviewing, I saw the reaction, right? And I thought, oh, he's a wee bit perturbed there. But my thought is, right, if we win these two games, right, let's hope we do, right, you're not getting many warm-up games then in terms of the squad going forward. So is it no better bringing a player who will potentially be in the squad in 7 months' time for the World Cup or whatever it is, right? Bring him in just now, get used to the squad, even if he doesn't play, because he's got to be on the radar, surely. So therefore, if there's an opportunity to get him part of the squad even this week, it gets him involved. That's all. I mean, that was just an observation. Do you want me to quickly tell you my nostalgic ass? I was going to ask a dazzler last night. Have you got time?
Go for it.
Right, okay. I was watching the programme last night, and they were talking about the Kenny Dalglish thing. If the two guys haven't watched it, you need to watch it. It's absolutely brilliant, right? But the discussions this week, and I'm not saying this myself as a previous manager, right? The chat recently has been about how important a manager's been, right, for clubs, and we all know that, and it becomes more and more apparent. You're a good manager, you've got a better chance of success. It's simple, right? But I was watching that Kenny Dalglish programme, right? And see the players that we had in the 1978 squads, right? The question's probably more for Roger, Simon. You're probably a wee bit too young, and that's a compliment, right?
A bit younger, but I think of, what is it, the film you're talking about, Andy?
You seen the Kendall Gleish film?
Yeah, I've seen it last week, yeah.
Right, no, the question I'm going to ask you might be a wee bit younger, right? The question I'm going to ask you, Roger, is, if Jock Stein was appointed the Scotland manager in 1978 with that squad, do you think we'd have won it?
Oh, now you're asking. I mean, it was a really strong squad. We're on the march with Ali's army, and it didn't really seem as ridiculous as it seems now that we're talking about, you know, having success in the World Cup. You were taking Dalglish and Souness from Liverpool. You were taking Robertson and Gemmell and Kenny Burns from Nottingham Forest, who were about to win two back-to-back European Cups. You were taking the elite players from north and south of the border over there. Would a different manager have made a difference? Listen, we'll never
it's
know.
Great hypothetical. I mean, over my head, I'll just let you guys take it away.
It was certainly a wonderful squad. Jock took them to Spain 4 years later, and listen, Willie Miller and Alan Hansen still bump into each other.
Yeah, Russia game. Yeah,
and you know, we didn't do it. A guy by the name of Alec Ferguson, who was quite a good manager, then took us to Mexico in 86, yeah, and we didn't have any more success. So
what was the one the Welsh missed? Was it 86 he missed?
Yeah. He didn't go after Fergie became the manager. He didn't go to
a blow.
Yeah,
good history lesson that. Thanks to Andy for bringing and educating youngsters like myself. You
Ali McLeod,
any more to get off your chest?
Do you know the story about Ali McLeod when he was at the airport saying that we're going to win it in 78, and the guy said something along the lines of, where do you go from there? He said, well, we'll retain it.
That certainly sounds like Ali McLeod.
Nothing but a bit of optimism.
Absolutely. Thank you, Andy. Let's play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Come on, Beat the Pundit time, 01419511025. Simon Donnelly finally got a victory last week. He hadn't won all season long. Is it the start of something, or is it papering over the cracks, to use the football phrase? We will find out soon. The lines close at 7. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hannah and Simon Donnelly are here at 0141 951 1025. Still loads of time to get your calls in, as is often, or as is the case this week certainly. There's going to be a lot of discussion about Celtic's managerial vacancy, but you can start turning your attentions to Scotland at the weekend if you want. You can give us a more general overview of what's going on at your club if you think there's something on your mind. There's always something in Scottish football, quite a dramatic, drastic story developing at Hamilton Accies that we spoke about briefly at the end of last night's show. There was a lot of intrigue and excitement, I think, when Hibs linked up with Bournemouth and Bill Foley, and now that's over after only a couple of years. So any Hibs fans want to get your thoughts there, or just a general assessment of how your team are doing during the international break, we can do that as well, but we will play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Simon Donnelly's form was horrific, and finally you get the monkey off your back. Are you happy with that?
You're only as good as your last game, people, as they say.
So look, I'm trying to understand how your adoring public take this, because it's funny. I've
my adoring public.
People are very quick to tell you when it's going wrong, aren't they? To come up and criticise you. You get any congratulations when you're out and about this week? I bet they're not as forthcoming.
Well, I told you the one outside my house. It was actually somebody I'd beat the Pundit last year.
Do you know what I mean? Usually people queue up to slag you.
No praise comes. It's always criticism.
Do you know what's a great one?
In the random places.
I was in Clydebank Shopping Centre before the show tonight. I frequent it from time to time if I pick something up before I come in. And you know these guys, women, whoever, that stand in the middle and they try and sell you like broadband or phone contracts or whatever it is, you know the ones. And the guy says, "Gordon, just can I just ask you something?" He says, "What team do you support?" I said, "Mother fan and former season ticket." And all, no, but like Celtic or Rangers, you know what? But the sort of the absolute belief that he was almost like the first person that had asked this, you know, that he'd stumbled upon maybe a new theory. Nah, but you know, who's your big team? That old one sort of thing. And I said, "Oh, you know, well, spoke about this a few times, you know, don't have one," and the kind of stock answer. And he goes, I loved the courage of his convictions. He goes, "I bet if you were to back one of them, you know, who would it be?"
You've got to pick one.
He goes, "Just between us." That is a great line.
As he was taking his phone out.
So this notion that the accusation is that you're harbouring some secret for all these years, and you finally decide to reveal it to the guy who's trying to sell you broadband in the middle of Clydebank Shopping Centre. I did not, absolutely. Anyway, Scott is on the line. How are you, Scott?
Not bad, guys. How you doing?
Have you ever played Beat the Pundit before?
No.
What made you call tonight?
I still don't know. I sat and watched it every night on YouTube, and I was like, I'm for a crack at this tonight.
Sounds very good to me. I mean, what choice you've got? You've got Roger Hannah, who's
polar opposites,
usually unbeatable, and Simon Donnelly, who's very beatable. But you won your last game,
and he get beat. He didn't. Well, there you go.
But my confidence is shattered.
So you're only as good as your last game, and all that.
I've gone to pieces.
There's no way he's having a game like that 2 weeks in a row. But no chance.
That's a good point. That's a good point. We'll toss the coin.
Talking about me or you?
I don't know. Both of you. Both of you. Exactly. Mm-hmm. The blue side of the coin will be Simon Donnelly. The red side will be Roger Hannah. You ready? Yeah. Oh, you look a bit nervous.
Are you?
It's the blue side. You're back in the saddle. Let's see if you can follow up from last week.
Come on,
Scott. I think that's a result for you. Don't tell Simon I said this, but I think that's a result for you, Scott. We'll give him. Oh, you still here? You're not listening to your music.
The music's not on.
Sorry about that. Let's give Simon something else to listen to so I can badmouth him. You, Scott, have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer. Okay.
Right.
30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Name any former Old Firm player that currently manages in the Scottish Premiership.
Gary McInnes.
Who were Scotland's last opponents at a Men's World Cup?
Oh, pass.
What nationality is Hearts' Claudio Braga?
Portuguese.
True or false, all 10 Scottish Premiership B teams are in the bottom 10 places in the KDM trophy table?
False.
Who's the only Albanian in the current Rangers squad?
Bioski.
How many Scottish Premiership clubs are fan-owned?
Two.
Okay, let's bring back Simon Donnelly. Can you hear us?
I can.
Good, same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Name any former Old Firm player that currently manages a Scottish Premiership side.
McInnes.
Who were Scotland's last opponents at a Men's World Cup?
Morocco.
What nationality is Hearts' Claudio Braga?
Portuguese.
True or false, all 10 Scottish Premiership B teams currently take up the bottom 10 places in the KDM trophy table?
False.
Who's the only Albanian in the current Rangers squad?
Pass.
How many Scottish Premiership clubs are fan-owned?
Premiership, did you say?
I did. Don't do a Gordon DL. Do not stall me.
One.
He just repeats the question in the hope that I don't notice.
One.
Okay. What do you think, Scott?
Maybe two.
I don't know, man. I honestly don't know.
Let's go through them and find out. Name any former Old Firm player that currently manages a Scottish Premiership side. Derek McInnes, Stephen Presley, Jim Goodwin, any others? That's what I said. So you had the choice. You both went McInnes. You both got it correct. Who were Scotland's last opponents at a Men's World Cup? I've got a bit of sympathy for you, Scott, because out of you and Simon, one of you was unsure and the other one was on the bench doing the old star jumps in front of Craig Brown.
You need to let it go. It's 27 years ago, Simon. You need to let it go.
No, it's difficult.
Look how flexible I am. Look how ready I am, Gaffer.
I was even firing a guess. I just passed.
I know, it was Morocco. I need to find out more about that. Did you...
I was doing all that, exactly what you were saying, aye.
Ever get the nod of like...
I get told to go and warm up.
Did you? Oh, no.
And Scott Booth got pulled back. And on those days, was it three subs then?
Three subs, yeah.
And he was the last?
He was the final sub, and that was my moment gone.
Right, and you're down in the corner warming up. So the coach, did they do the whistle and then the point?
I think they called us back in, and then
both.
It was obvious that
nothing
was going on there. So I went into holiday mode immediately. We were 3-0 down, and Craig Bully had been sent off. We were on our way out anyway.
Yes, is there still then... I'm thinking probably state the obvious here. 3-0 down, you're heading out, but you kind of know, like, you still have a burning desire to get on and take and say that you've done
100%. That's why I've not let it go after 27 years. And I did bring it up to Craig when he was here.
I'd replay that moment forever. Sorry to make you feel worse about it. You still went.
I was there.
Closer than we got. Anyway, it was Morocco 2-1 to Simon. Claudio Braga is Portuguese. You both got it, so it's 3-2. I interviewed him yesterday for part of his Player of the Month presentation.
And,
well, of course, you almost can't talk about anything else other than the song. But do you know what, Roger? Which is, look, it might seem like a bare minimum, but you know the game and you interview a lot of players. It's so refreshing to speak to somebody that just clearly loves what he's doing. He's a really infectious guy, you know, really happy to be here, delighted, loves the song, like lights up when you talk about it, and he speaks about all his family and friends across the world. And I think he's a really engaging character.
Good.
And he's doing a good job, isn't he?
He certainly has.
A great job. Yeah.
Tell you what, he's lucky to beat his pal Kizaridis to the award.
Yeah. Mm. Did he get it the first month? No, so Shanklin got it last month. That should be a beat the pundit question. Anyway, 3-2, true or false, all 10 Premiership teams currently take up the bottom 10 places in the KDM trophy table. What did you say, Scott?
I just guessed false, to be honest with you.
What did you say? Simon said false as well. It's true, isn't it?
Yeah,
is it true?
There's a debate maybe for another night. What does that say about the experiment of putting the B teams in? They are all 10 of them bottom of this big massive table. Is that still good for development? Or is it counterproductive? Who's the only Albanian in the Rangers squad? I was hopeful for you, Scott, because you're a Rangers fan. Nadim Barami, I'm afraid. Aye. So none of you got it.
Did he not get it?
And a friend of mine who is big into fan ownership and such things at Motherwell was delighted to hear this question on it. Already messaged straight away. How many Premiership clubs are fan owned? Hearts, Motherwell, St Mirren, Falkirk. So it is 4. None of you got it. The person in question was quick to point out that quite a few of them are operating in the kind of top spots in the Premiership. Maybe it's the way to go, I think was the message getting across there. So I'm afraid you did get 2 on the board, Scott, but Simon got 3. Hard lines.
I'm just glad it wasn't your donut, man.
Listen, 3-2 is perfectly respectable. Who's your team, Scott?
Rangers.
What are you thinking as a Rangers fan at the moment?
With the way the season started, it's definitely looking a wee bit better. Obviously disappointing last weekend with the semi-final and that, but one on the road at Easter Road and then up at Dundee at the weekend, a couple of clean sheets, so things are definitely looking a bit better.
Go along with that, is that a kind of fair assessment?
I think the only way Rangers could go was up under Danny Rowell. They look better, the players look as if they're more comfortable with what they're being asked to do at the minute. You know, you're right, going to Easter Road, Scott, was big, a clean sheet and a win. Going to Dens Park, a clean sheet and a win. There was, you know, some home success against Kilmarnock in there as well. I think Rangers' next two games are at home to Livy and then at home to Falkirk. So, with no disrespect to the two newly promoted teams, but at Ibrox, these are games that Danny Rowell would be looking to win. And if he can do that, and suddenly at five Premiership wins in the bounce, things will look a whole lot better, I would think, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, Scott, have you seen enough to think you can definitely sort of kick on from here, or you still take a bit more time to be convinced?
Oh, listen, the guy's just in the door, and see what he's got to work with. And now, I mean, the way the team are performing and things like that, it's not an easy job for him, do you know what I mean? So we've just got to try and get behind him as best we can, and hopefully they do kick on. But look, after what, 3-4 games, obviously we've won 3, lost to Celtic, lost in Europe, you can't, I'll be honest, see, for the last couple of years, sometimes I find it a bit hard to get excited because there's been a lot of false dawns. So just got to try and be positive and get behind the guys, you know what I mean?
No, listen, I think that's what Rangers fans need to do. They sort of need to rally behind this manager, I think, Scott. They never really took to Russell Martin. He was jeered off after 45 minutes of his first pre-season friendly. But there does seem to be more of a bond, whether you like the Rowell roar, as he did at the end of the game at Dens at the weekend, whether you like it or not, it does seem to be forging a better relationship with the support. And it's, as Simon was saying about Celtic earlier on, it's all about results.
It's results.
If he keeps winning, the fans will love him.
That's what I was about to say. I mean, it sounds simple, but he's did something that Russell Martin didn't do in his short tenure. He's won 3 in the bounce there in the league, and it's something to build on.
Yeah.
What everyone says, Mikey Moore, is that the obvious one, Scott? Who are the players that you think look different since the new head coach came in?
Mikey Moore looks like a different player. It's because obviously, I was listening about, they were talking about it today, and people were looking, going, this boy's supposed to be a superstar, and we've only seen it. But no, you're definitely seeing a bit of a different player in there. I think the way he's changed his position for him is suiting better. He's not a touchline winger, do you know what I mean? And giving him that different role we can roam about, he's looked a lot better.
That's something you go along with, Roger?
Oh, definitely he's improved. I think Raskin has improved as well. He had obviously high profile issues between him and Russell Martin.
I think he has shown a serious improvement. I know he scored at the weekend, but I still feel like in the weeks leading up to that game, I still feel like I saw a lot of Rangers fans hoping for a bit more from him on social media.
Well, he got taken off at the end of the 90 minutes in the semi-final. I didn't really think Rangers performed as well. I know they were down to 10 men and he was tiring, but I think I'd have been tempted to keep him in the park at that stage. And it was noticeable that Callum McGregor had the length and breadth of Hamden to smash in that goal when someone like Raskin would have been probably, you know, getting out to him. So I think when he's been in the pitch and when he's not been in the pitch, it's been noticeable. I think he has been better. I think the players, they just look more comfortable doing what Danny Rowell's asking them to do. They do need a centre forward, though.
I think that's what I was just about to say, Roger. Is we're really the full support are hoping to see more favour from the front line, because the boys that are there, they know they're just, they can, there's none of them are doing it. So, I mean, I don't know if they go and do they bring somebody else in January? Do we stick with it, and hopefully they will start firing a bit better? But it's not looking like it now. So I don't know if they're going to need to go and try and get somebody else in January.
I just think it's subtle changes as well, though. I mean, Mikey Moore's been put into a different position in the team, possibly, but also time to bed in, because when I seen him playing with Spurs last year at different times, I was quite impressed with Mikey Moore. And I thought when a good acquisition coming in, and it never really happened for him at the start. Was that playing out of position, or was that maybe just getting used to the environment at Rangers? But he's certainly kicked on.
He's still a very young man. You know, he's only 18 years of age, and you're thrown into a new team in a new league with new teammates at a time of major turmoil for Rangers.
It looks as if he's finding his feet a wee bit.
Absolutely.
What can still be achieved in the league table, do you think, this season, Scott? How far are you willing to go?
Listen, in the league, you know, it's just, I'd pretty much say the league's done for us. I mean, nobody's expecting us to go on and win the league. I know stranger things have happened in that, but you know, listen, we just need to keep on winning games, hopefully get ourselves up there, make up a bit of ground on Celtic and Hearts, and see where we are in May. But right now, I don't think there's any Rangers supporters going to come on here or say anywhere that they're expecting us to go in and win the league. Do you know what I mean? And even right now, I think we just need to concentrate ourselves, winning games and try to get ourselves back up there. A bit more consistency.
Again, it's about maybe even just in a couple of weeks, you get a bit more of a flavour. You know, if you're trying to reel in Celtic and your Ranger, you're really hoping that St Mirren and Hibs can then do you a favour, and there's every chance they could. Good Celtic teams have gone and found it difficult at Paisley or found it difficult at Easter Road. That might not be the case. Celtic might, you know, win them comfortably. Then your issue becomes Hearts. We say, well, you still can't really argue with their points total, but to have dropped points in, was it two of the last three
St Mirren
games?
And Dundee United.
Can they be reeled in? What's your kind of gut at the moment?
My gut is that Rangers just need to focus on themselves. Don't look at the table. Don't look at where Celtic are. Don't look at where Hearts are. And just try and win a series of games. He's done three in the league back to back. He's got these two home games coming up with the Scots Gordon. So it's an opportunity to go five back to back. And everyone feels better at themselves if you win five games in the span. So it's then just a case of trying to build, trying to keep taking these baby steps, as Danny Rule is fond of saying, and just looking after your own business. And if you can look after your own business, you might find yourself a bit closer to the teams currently above you.
Thank you very much to Scott from Kilmarnock. It's 01419511025. So well done. I don't, you know, overlook it. That's two in a row now after a difficult start to the season. You're a bit like Rangers, really.
Form
slow
horse.
Start, then you win a couple. I've actually got double whammy for you to make your night even better.
What is?
I've arranged.
Am I off the bottom of that table yet?
Probably not. What percentage? No, I don't think so. I've actually arranged a special video message for you because you had a polite wager with one of our esteemed colleagues,
here a couple of times as he's left a message for me.
Can we see your video message? Can we, from the one and
Simon,
only
Simon? I've come in on my own birthday to present you with a gift, the most expensive bottle of wine I have ever purchased, and it's not for me. It's for you, because you won the bet. You said Celtic would win the Premier Sports Cup semi-final, and I said Rangers would win it. So this is your prize. I'm not a bitter man, Simon. I hope it chokes you.
And there we go.
Before we go,
I've got said bottle. Hold on. I think I'm duty bound to please urge you to drink and gamble responsibly. If you're making polite wages with Hugh Keevans.
I was about to say the most expensive bottle of wine Hugh Keevans has ever bought doesn't necessarily go for anything. That's lovely.
Yeah.
That's very good. Well done, Shug.
Thank you very much, Shug. But this is your life.
But hold on a second, though.
Absolutely fabulous.
We've got a nation.
Are we opening it now? I've got a coffee on.
I don't think you're allowed to do that. We've got a nation of listeners wondering, what do we get every time Hugh Keevans makes a wrong prediction and it affects us?
This is true.
There's not enough wine in all the vineyards in France
to justify his bad predictions. But there you go. Are you happy with that?
I'm delighted with that.
Tonight, wait to the weekend?
No, I'll keep that for a special occasion.
Oh, you should do.
Although Scotland, I feel a little bit guilty because it was it his birthday?
It's his birthday. Happy birthday to Hugh Keevans.
Today?
Happy birthday. 97, I think, today. Something along those lines.
I know.
Well, happy birthday, Hugh. And he will be listening. Birthday. He wouldn't spend his birthday any other way. I've got an idea for you. Full time, Saturday night, Greece 0, Scotland 2, you crack open the red. Sound good?
Yeah, perfect.
I would take 0-0 right now.
Oh, absolutely.
And keep it going to Tuesday.
Denmark.
Yeah. Denmark.
Because a win doesn't actually change Tuesday.
No, it doesn't make any
sense.
Let's have a boring, rubbish 0-0.
Someone said to me earlier, imagine Belarus get something off Denmark. And I got all excited and then I thought, well, it's not going to happen. No. But still, imagine.
Yeah.
Imagine how good that would be.
Yeah.
This is the, of course, and the reason I'll never forget it is Hugh Keevan's birthday means today is the anniversary of Belgrade.
Yeah.
David Marshall. Isarik and Boogie, etc. Because it happened on Hugh Keevan's birthday. He had been on the red that night. He called in the show after we qualified for the Euros, and it was amazing. Ryan Christie's crying. I think Hugh Keevan's was emotional.
I think we all were crying.
So hopefully we've got something like that.
It would be great
on Tuesday.
Imagine that
feeling with a full hand in a World Cup rather than the Euros.
Yeah.
And no COVID.
Did we do the playoff game the last time for the Church and Hill?
Ukraine. We don't mention that one though. Anyway,
you were involved. You actually did get off the bench this time. The last time Scotland played a game that sent us to a World Cup finals.
Belarus.
Latvia.
Celtic Park.
2-0. I think Jury and Gallagher scored.
Yeah, that's right.
You came
did
on.
Did a great night out that night?
I bet. I was just about to ask.
Aye.
I mean, how great is that? You've taken the nation to the World Cup final.
Yeah, well, it was fabulous. I just kind of get into the team at that point. A lot of the team, because the campaign was over, I think, the best part of 2 years.
Yes,
so
it was, yeah.
I came in at the tail end of it.
Sweden and Austria.
However, we're lucky enough to get into the final 20 or whatever it was that went to France. But it's far too long. It's far too long for Scotland not to have got there. And you talk about the night in Belgrade, and times that by, you know, whatever you want for to get to the World Cup, it'd be something pretty special. And this group of players have been so close. Some of them are maybe coming to the end of their international careers. It would be fantastic to get them to the finals.
Good time to call on that note. Maybe that's enough. Maybe Simon William Wallace Donnelly has done enough to stir you there and get it all going for the weekend, or you just want to talk about your club side. Either way, we're happy to have you. Give us a call.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Roger Hannah are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Get your calls into us. Tweet us at Clyde SSB. We're always keen to hear your thoughts, whether it's on the specifics of the day, the Celtic managerial search, the build-up to the Scotland games at the weekend, or something entirely different that you've dreamt up. Even if it's not totally related to football, we'll usually entertain it anyway. My goodness, this was the week that Andy Halliday's apparent primary school classmate called in to talk about who Andy fancied in the playground. So, I mean, seriously, those are the levels we will plunge to at times if we have to. It is the beauty of live radio. We would not have it any other way. I've got a full-time teaser for you, and this is great. Jonathan in Kings Park. And what this does sometimes is it exposes my lack of foresight, preparation, if you want to call it that. Because this question is exactly what we've just been speaking about, and I didn't even know. I hadn't even turned over my sheet. I like it to be a surprise to me. Can I put some conditions on this teaser?
No.
Can I ruin your night? You've been given the red wine from Hugh. Can I ruin your night?
I'm on a roll.
I just think this is too easy for him. He's an anorak, right? He's just got that, like, I think he'll get every one of these pretty much off the bat.
So you're putting it all onto me?
Until you need help. Does that seem fair? I don't think it's unreasonable.
I'm glad you hold me in such high regard.
It's just the type of thing, he'll just recall this so easily.
Right, go for
right.
it.
So, Jonathan quite rightly says, as discussed prior to the break, today, 12th of November, 5 years since the Scotland playoff win on penalties to get to the Euros. Can the pundits remember the seven different players who scored penalties in the shootout wins against Serbia and Israel in the semi-final? So there were only seven different players, because obviously some took penalties in both. So can you remember the seven players who scored in the shootout win against Serbia and the semi-final against Israel? So remember, that was at Hampden, then an away final in Belgrade. Roger Hannah, you are banned for the first 5 minutes of this.
Seven players. Kenny McLean.
Well, of course, both, and he scored the clincher, didn't he? I mean, well, David Marshall gets the credit, and understandably so. But let's not forget Kenny McLean's part in it all. Seeing Kenny McLean's Scotland career comes to an end, Roger Hannah, he has at no real point been a nailed on starter. No. There was that little spell there
popped
in the Nations
the
League.
And he popped up with the one in Norway.
Penalty in Israel,
yeah.
Penalty in Serbia, winner in Slowed Oslo.
Right foot,
and maybe he's not done yet. Maybe he's got more
than,
to come.
More than 50 caps and a place in the Hall of Fame.
But see, if you're talking about three big moments,
yeah.
What a haul to look back on. You'd be satisfied with those three contributions, wouldn't you?
I think so. And he's just waiting to get a new manager at Norwich yet again.
Russell Martin going to go back in, is he?
Well, Mark Fotheringham, I think, has been heavily talked about.
I saw the
former Norwich City captain,
because Russell Martin obviously played at Norwich.
Yeah.
But the Swansea job's vacant.
Southampton.
And so is the Southampton job. I saw someone call it the Russell Martin trifecta on on social media. Have you also seen the videos doing the rounds of him? I don't know where he even came from. Some sort of team talk in a Southampton game. And the comments are just dominated, because you know that Scottish football fans take over social media, with Rangers fans going, glad this guy's not our manager anymore. Listen to that. Rubbish. And not just kicking the guy even when he's gone.
Seen it, but I didn't press play.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's quite modern manager speak, but who are we to argue with that? Maybe that's the way it goes. Kenny McLean is one anymore.
Ryan Christie?
No, because he might have scored and he ended up in tears, Roger Hannah, but correct me if I'm wrong, substituted before the penalties.
Thanks,
I remember. Callum McGregor?
Yes, in both games, Israel and Serbia. Okay, we'll, or do you want to go one more guess? I need more.
McGinn.
Yes. In only one of them, though. And I think in Israel, Roger. No?
Yeah, I'll take your word for that.
I think
it was in one. Right, leave it there. Yes, so right, we're looking for the seven different players who scored penalties in Israel and Serbia games to get us to that Euros. I was going to say in 2020, 2021. But called Euro 2020.
Yeah.
Strange times. Thanks to Jonathan and Kings Park for sending it in full time at Clyde1.com. Michael's in Kirkcaldy. What's your point tonight, Michael?
Hi, Gordon, Roger, and Sid.
Hi, Michael.
Just wanted to put it out there that how is nobody actually speaking of Steve Clarke for the Celtic job?
Oh, okay.
Well,
would you fancy that, Michael?
Well, I've been thinking about it. Look at his experience. He knows the Scottish game. He knows the English game. He probably knows quite a lot about Europe. And he was touted for the job in 2021. And if you ask any other Celtic fan out there, I'll probably get slaughtered for this. But would you pick the man Nonsi or would you pick Steve Clarke and have Mark McNeil and his Sean Maloney to the end of the season?
Listen, timing.
Steve Clarke might be available Monday morning, Wednesday morning, depending how it goes.
No, he won't because he'll have a player.
Oh, of course.
And this is the issue. You know, it's a lot of football management is about timing. When you have a vacancy and who is available at that point in time. You know, I take on board your Steve Clarke suggestion, Michael. It's a sensible suggestion. One of the guys that's been mentioned, former Celtic striker, Craig Bellamy. But again, he's going to be involved, he hopes, right through to June or July with Wales. Roberto Martinez, very close with Sean Maloney, linked with a Celtic job before, married to a Scots lady. But he's going to be involved with Portugal until next summer. So does that rule all of them out? Could Martin and Sean take the team to the summer if the Celtic board were convinced that a Martinez or a Bellamy or a Clarke were the man they want?
I think I would be, you asked me how to describe, I think I'd be comfortable if they had somebody and it took to the end of the season, the names that you mentioned there, if they had somebody that was to come in at the end of the season, I would be comfortable for the current management team to go through to that point. Yeah.
Steve Clarke?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
You say you'd be slaughtered by this, Michael. You acknowledging that, rightly or wrongly, you just think that most Celtic fans wouldn't go for that. Is that what you think?
I've got that feeling that a lot of Celtic fans wouldn't go for it, but it was just, I know it was right out there, but why not? He's got the experience. He knows Scottish football inside out. He's very defensive. He's done a great job at Kilmarnock.
It's interesting though with coaches. You know, coaches get labelled like that, Michael. Mm. But look at the jobs that Steve Clarke has had. He had West Brom and Reading in the English Premier League. You probably need to be a bit defensive.
Yeah.
You know, he had Kilmarnock, and he took to third place with some nice attacking football. Yeah. I think at the time he had Eamon Brophy and Greg Stewart, and he had Chris Burke in one wing and Rory McKenzie in the other wing. They were a bit more expansive latterly. But I don't, you know, if he was to go to a club like Celtic,
where they're dominant in possession,
Well, they've got 70-80% of the ball at Celtic Park, I think you might find he can, you know, he's got the ability to turn out a team that can play in the front foot.
The whole Scotland debate, though, is we always get that where people say that they think he does have the players to play more attacking. But then I also find it difficult to compare international football to club football, to state the obvious. You get them every couple of weeks.
I think as a fan looking at Scotland at times, I've wished to be a wee bit more expansive, and I accept us as a nation are not going to go and dominate possession at times. And then even in the last game against Greece, when it took the likes of Doak off, I remember thinking at the time, you know, the attacking threat, Doak wasn't having the best of games, but if anything was going to happen, we ended up winning that game 3-1 in the end. So, it's one of the ones.
It's about striking the balance.
Mm.
Any others out there that would float your boat, Michael?
No. The way I see it just now is, see if it's no broke, don't fix it. See Martin and Sean just now, I think they're doing a good job. So that's why I'm happy just now the way things are going. So if Celtic are willing to wait for the obviously for the right man, and I know a lot of people will be thinking that this is really stupid. But he's 62, Martin O'Neill 73. I don't know, I don't see past it. I don't think it's a bad bet.
I think there needs to be a plan. I think Celtic need to decide what they're going to do. If it's going to be a Clark, a Bellamy or a Martinez, then tell people that's what's going to happen and tell people that Martin and Sean are going to stay to the end of the season. If it's going to be, you know, Kjetil Knudsen, who's not quite finished his domestic season, tell people that and let Martin and Sean stay until such times as you can bring this guy in. Everything points it's going to be Wilfred Nancy. It just depends on how quickly deal can be done.
Do you think the speed of it is to try and get somebody in before this next?
No, not necessarily. No, I think the club are quite relaxed. You used the word content at the top of the show when Gordon asked you. I think the club are content with Martin and Sean. I think it was a clever move bringing Martin back in. I think it will be short term. He's 73, he's not going to get a 3-year contract, is he?
Yeah.
I think it will be short term. But I think, given the way they won the semi-final, given the 2-4-0 home wins, I think they would be content if they needed to wait 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, you know, to keep Martin and Sean in position. Imagine Martin O'Neill leading out Celtic in the League Cup final.
Yeah, I know, I get that.
Michael, what would your thoughts be on Wilfred Nancy?
I just don't know much about him, but we never knew much about Ange Postecoglou either, so it's just a, I don't know, how do you say it? It's into the unknown. It's, as I see Steve Clark, I've seen what he's done, and we haven't seen what this guy's done, and that's why the way I'm thinking just now, that I'm happy the way things are with Sean and Martin O'Neill. So I'd be happily, I'd keep it the way it is just now. That's where I'm at. I'm not in a rush, but Celtic might be in the rush.
I suppose what you have to then do, Roger, and this is to analyse the position Celtic fans find themselves in more generally. If you want to make your peace with someone who you don't really know or you haven't really heard of and you don't know loads about, what you have to do then is put your faith in the decision makers at your club and trust the decision makers at your club. Now, I think you know where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. I don't detect a lot of trust between Celtic fans and decision makers at the club.
Yeah.
Rightly or wrongly, you know, but that's clearly the feeling out there at the moment.
Yeah, and it's a strange relationship between a certain element of the fan base and the club hierarchy. There's a certain element of the fan base been suspended for 6 games over what the club described as unacceptable conduct. And even in that area, Simon and I were at the game on Sunday. You were at the game on Sunday as well, Gordon, actually. You would see it yourself, you know, that there were still those banners against the club hierarchy over in that corner of the ground. So that element of the support might not put their faith in the people picking the new manager, but they've managed to pick managers who have won 13 of the last 14 league titles. So they must have got something right somewhere along the line.
Could look at it that way as well. Thank you very much to Michael. I'm going to look at the phone lines to see if we've got a rush of support for Michael's suggestion that Steve Clark should be the next Celtic manager. Not detecting much yet, but you never know. I was going to say the night is young, but that would be a lie as well. But there is still time to get your calls in if you want to react to that. So please do, 01419511025. Simon Donnelly's doing the teaser on his own until such times as he needs to ask his pal Roger Hanna for help. It is the 7 different players who scored penalties in the shootout wins against Serbia and Israel to get to Euro 2020. McGinn, McGregor, McLean.
Did Big Hanley step forward?
No. It's a wild shout from
I
you.
I know, but I was going to go for that. Adams.
No.
Richie Adam.
But kind of before his time? No, not necessarily. But it wasn't one of them.
McTominay.
Yes, of course, in both games. We'll get the remaining 3 and more calls if you fancy it when we return.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Simon Donnelly are into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time to squeeze some calls in if you want. We'd love to have you and hear from you, whether it's on Celtic or Scotland or anything else. Let's get in touch and see what you are thinking this evening. On the teaser, I was going to say Simon Donnelly and Roger Hannah's teaser. It's just Simon Donnelly's for now. I think it's too easy for Roger Hannah. Of course he does.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't know.
Come on. Well, you'd only be one or two out. So it's the anniversary of that famous night in Belgrade. Can you name the seven different players who scored penalties in the wins against Serbia and Israel? Because there's seven across the two. So McGinn, McGregor, McTominay, McLean.
Wee Billy Gilmore.
Now you're getting colder.
Am I?
Yeah. He only came into the squad for the tournament itself. Is that right, Roger?
Yeah, well, allowed clues.
Robertson.
No, not right now. You're struggling. You're just throwing random names at me. What about if I said two of
names
them
from the squad?
Two of them are not in the current squad and haven't been for a long time. Right. In fact, probably they didn't go to the Euros either, did they?
No.
Two of them. So two of them haven't really played since then.
What was the clue, Roger?
Can I give him a clue?
Yeah.
Celtic centre forward.
So he's been out of the Scotland squad for a long time, but he was there to take a penalty that night.
Griffiths?
Yes. Did that surprise you?
It does a wee bit, just with the timeline. Right, Griffiths,
two to get, and we can get them before the end of
one
the
in the
show.
Squad, one no longer in the squad?
Yeah.
In the current squad?
One in the current squad, and one no longer in the current squad. I'll give you that. You've got two to get. Roger Hannah's just helping you along here. Let's hear from Lyndon Dyke, shall we, on the subject of the big games this weekend. He says making it to the World Cup would more than make up for him having to miss last summer's Euros through injury.
Yeah, 100%. I think obviously now looking back on it, it's difficult, but I'm past that now. At the time, it was very difficult for myself. I found it very hard, obviously not helping out, playing in the Euros, which is major, but now I'm just looking forward, and the next thing's the World Cup, and we've got two major games, and we want to be getting, automatic straight to the World Cup, and that's the end goal for myself, and I'm sure for the whole team as well. So we've got an opportunity to do it. It's not going to be easy. We have to make sure we turn up for both games, and yeah, it will definitely be a highlight of my life and my career if we can do it.
It's kind of these things that you overlook, and it's easy to get caught up, and it's not wrong to get caught up where you go to the Euros and it wasn't very good, and that was... What about Lyndon Dykes? The guy who goes from Queen of the South to Livingston. He's Australian, in case you hadn't noticed. And
we'll get there.
Scores big goals for Scotland and then gets stretchered off at Lesser-Hamden, what was it, days before the Euros?
Yeah.
And doesn't get to go, that sort of stuff.
We'll get for the World Cup. We'll be drawn in a group with Australia. Lyndon Dykes will lead the line for Scotland, and Martin Boyle will lead the line for Australia.
Swap at half time, play a half each.
Yeah.
I don't know. You don't want to get too sentimental about it, Simon. The teams that deserve to get there are the teams that win the relevant games to get there. There's no point in that. But it does feel like the starting point for this squad and where that squad is at now, and generally together, and generally as the same group, and certainly under the same manager. I think even objectively, forget how we feel about it.
Yep.
It would be the perfect way to round that off, wouldn't it?
It would be, because, as I said earlier on the show, the two finals that we got to with this kind of group of players, there's little changes on the way. The nucleus of the teams coming through. Now I think Andy Robertson's touching 30. Is he 30 now, Andy?
He's over 30.
So these boys are all coming, to the end. I think this is the last real chance at a final.
That's a good point you make. I spoke to Jack Hendry last week. Jack Hendry's 30 now. I couldn't believe that either. But then you've got Hanley and McLean and Robertson.
Yeah.
John
McGinn as well. Scott McKinn. These guys are all at the peaks of their careers. If they don't get to North America, this group's not get, together they won't get to another World Cup. This is their last World Cup opportunity.
It's their last chance.
Jim's got a club point to make, I think. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Yeah, it's just this sort of narrative. I think Roger had said something about some certain Celtic group. They've been banned for six games. They're not happy. They're confident in the board and all that. But to me, in the last few weeks, the pundits will be missing a point. And all. See, this, I'm a member of the Celtic Collective. We think the club has run okay domestically. You can't argue with that, the amount of trophies it's won. Okay, but seeing Europe in the last 10 years, it's been an absolute disaster. We've won 41 games. Every year we have to qualify. We don't get players in time, and we fail to qualify. And that's what we're angry about. Mm-hmm. And also, we don't think the club's run as a modern football club as well. So it's not about the last, you know, two transfer windows that everybody's saying it is. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's about the last 10 years.
I think it's a really good point. And I have been keen, any time that's come up, to point out that the Celtic Collective was, you know, over 400 Celtic supporters. Yeah, yeah. But forgive me if I've not done it enough, maybe in the last couple of weeks, Jim, but certainly at the time, I don't know what stage it's at. It's at kind of now, and maybe, I don't know, people's outrage fatigue dies down a bit. But listening to Jim and others, this is about more than just the Green Brigade being a bit unhappy.
If you're looking at the European thing, Celtic made huge strides last season, you know, getting through to that game against Bayern Munich. And I'll be as guilty as anyone, Simon, thinking that night when they went so close, they've maybe cracked this in
start
Europe.
Of something.
You know, this could be the start of something. And then the draw against Kairat Almaty, you're not going to get a better draw like that in a Champions League playoff.
No.
And you think, well, Celtic will breeze through this, and then they're in the Champions League again, and after what they did last year, they can really kick on. And it all went spectacularly awry. And you can understand that, you know, the frustration from the likes of Jim about the record in Europe, particularly the away record in Europe, which over a decade or the last dozen years has been really poor.
Yeah.
It's just that age old thing. How much do you need to throw at it to get success?
See, just, Jim, if you don't mind, can I bring it back to today a bit, just because we're pushed for time? Your distrust or dissatisfaction, whatever word you would use, at the way the club is run, how does that impact your feelings on the managerial search? Do you trust them to get it right, basically, is what I'm asking?
Yeah. We want to get it right. Take their time, basically, and get it right. We need the right appointment.
So you think they will get it right, despite all your other, you know, concerns about the way the club's run?
They have before, let's face it. But the point is, they still need the board's backing. They still need the board to invest in the team in Europe. We're not looking for. We know we're not going to win the Champions League. All we want a season like last season. Most years. I think most Celtic fans would be satisfied that. And that what Roger was talking about there, that was the straw that broke the camel's back, basically. We've seen progress and then suddenly no investment and, you know, look what happened.
Have you got a preferred candidate before I let you go?
The Bodo Glimt manager.
Yeah, lots of people saying that one. Thank you very much to Jim in Bells Hill. I think that pretty much rounds us off. Here's a quick one. Scott is a Raith Rovers fan. He wants to know if we've touched on the Barry Robson sacking I did with tongue-in-cheek to Gordon Dale last night. He wants to know if Roger Hannah knows if any of the guys been heavily linked. I'd personally go for Gary Naismith or Reese McCabe or maybe Robbie Nielsen if we could get him.
I think Robbie Nielsen's got a good job again just now working with Lee Johnson.
Belgium. He's a number two though. He'd depend,
yeah,
maybe come yeah, home.
Listen, yeah, Gary Naismith's an interesting one because wherever he's gone, he's had an element of success. You know, he's five Queen of South, Steny, he's doing very well with. You just wonder, you know, if he was to get to a decent championship side like Raith, where he could take them. I don't mind that shout at all. I don't know, a return for Ian Murray?
Reese McCabe was the other one he mentioned, wasn't it?
Yeah, Reese McCabe.
Okay, that'll pretty much do us. If we need to round off the teaser, let's give us 30 seconds. That's all you've got, Simon Donnelly. Can you name the seven players who scored penalties in the shootout wins against Serbia and Israel? The first time we got to these Euros. McGinn, McGregor, McTominay, McLean, Griffiths. So Roger said there's one still in the squad. So he's not a mainstay. He's been in and out. He's back in the squad and he takes penalties. There's like an obvious one in that regard. Who's back in the squad after missing out on a few and takes penalties for his club?
Shankland.
Yes, Lawrence Shankland. And the
last one's no longer in the...
He's no longer in the squad.
Close, Roger.
He's played in Spain. He's played for Sheffield United, Hull, Swansea, Bradford even.
Yep. Right?
On paper, the type of CV that should get you in the Scotland squad.
You won't know. He's a big Rangers man. You won't know.
On CV, it's the type of player that would get in the Scotland squad, but it obviously just doesn't fit. And he had chances and scored his penalty here though.
They think it's all of it.
Buck.
Another one. McBurnley.
McBurney.
There we go. Thank you very much to Simon Donnelly and to Roger Hanna, and thank you for listening, for all your calls, your tweets, keeping us company, whether it's YouTube, radio, of course those of you who are yet to listen and get it back in the podcast. Great to have you all on board, and we do it again tomorrow from 6. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.